3. That was it's when Greg goes, "We'll read John 3." And there's lots of stuff I don't understand here. I'm like, "Preach, brother." So let's look at John chapter 3 and the first 21 verses. John chapter 3, the first 21 verses we'll read together. And these will set the tone for us on the topic of eternal life. John chapter 3, verse 1 says, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, and for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, You must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man has ascended up to heaven but he that cometh down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Amen. A rich scripture. Some words keep coming out to us there. Believe. And then we've got light coming through a few times. We've got born again. We've got knowing. And a few of these are going to start weaving in as we consider the topic of eternal life. Does anybody know who Jeanne Calment is? Jeanne Calment, the French lady. No? When I was young, I used to get a book that would have help me with this. She's a Guinness World Record holder. She's the Guinness World Record holder for being the oldest person recorded since they started recording age. We could, of course, point them back to the first few chapters of Genesis and blow them out of the water. But according to the Guinness World Record books, she died at age 122 years and 164 days old. 122. Dying in 1997, she saw the Eiffel Tower being built. She lived through both world wars, and she was one when Graham Bell patented the telephone. 122. Reading it, it's quite interesting, because she was fairly wealthy, but she had no heirs, so she had a few different properties, one of which was an apartment. And in 1965, there was a lawyer called André François Raffray. And André François set up a reverse mortgage agreement with Jeanne. He said that, I'll pay you 2,500 francs every month until you die, and then upon you dying, I will inherit your apartment. Which he thought was a great idea, because at this time he was aged 47 and she was 90. Incredibly, though, she outlived him. So he died 30 years later, and his family continued to pay the payments. But by the time of her death, they got the apartment, but they paid to her more than double the value of the apartment. So there you go. Dad, you're only halfway through your life. You've got plenty more to go get. 122. Look at that. Anyway, today we're talking about something far, far greater than living for 122 years. Far more exciting, far more impressive than living a physically long life, because we are thinking about eternal life. And we've read this wonderful verse in verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal or everlasting life." John Piper summarizes this verse in a lovely way. He says, we have a danger going on in this verse. And the danger is perishing. The danger is perishing. The design for salvation is love. The duty on us is to believe. And the destiny is eternal life. And that's what we're thinking about, eternal life. And there are many mindsets, many methods, many spiritual efforts that the world would try and explain and put on us for us to reach our destiny, but they can't deliver. They can't deliver. But Christianity says you can take hold of your destiny, and you can take hold of it now. And that's a wonderful message of the gospel, and it's by belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that destiny is this: eternal life. And that isn't about the quantity of life. It's a kind of life. It's a quality of life. It's a quality of existence. We will all live forever in terms of we have eternal souls, but we will live in one of two states, either eternal life or eternal judgment. Each of humanity, all of humanity, each person, you today, you can have eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ, or you will be eternally under the wrath of God. And that's the sobering side of what we'll be considering today. And it is a huge, huge topic. There's a lot of references to it. It's really exciting for us as Christians to think about eternal life, to meditate on this life that Jesus has given us. And it will never, ever, ever be removed. Once you are saved, your eternal soul has eternal life, full stop. And it's a life that you have today. It's not just an abstract thing that you will have in the future. So given the vastness of this topic, I'm just going to whet your appetite and walk through various aspects and various dimensions and little bits about eternal life scriptures teach us. It's going to be a fairly high-level overview. I'm going to be moving at quite some pace, so that's why I thought I'd add a bit of eye gate in there. So hopefully you can, as we refer to different scriptures, it pulls it all together and you can see where we're going as we're looking at this magnificent topic of eternal life. So this is kind of what we're going to be going through. This is how my brain started thinking about eternal life as I was thinking about it, taking all the different listings to eternal life, trying to add them into some sort of flow. This will become a lot more obvious to you as we go through. But we're going to be looking at four sort of topics, four headings, as we look and survey what the Bible teaches us about eternal life. And the first of these is around this idea of it being a gift. It's a gift that's being given to us. And it's a gift from God, the first point. Eternal life is a gift from God. It says this in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." It's a gift from God. It's juxtaposed or contrasted against the wages of sin. We know that wages are something you get, you earn, whereas a gift is given. It's at the behest of the person giving the gift. It's driven by their goodness, their love, for the one that they are looking to bless with that gift. So eternal life is a gift. And this is the testimony, 1 John 5, verse 11, that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. In fact, John 16, verse 7 would go a little bit further than that. And it would actually say that those who are given eternal life, those who are given the gift, are in fact a gift themselves, a love gift from the Father to the Son. It says it in verse 6 of John 17, I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. God the Father gave them to God the Son. So we learn from that that nothing brings the Godhead joy like giving the gift of salvation, forgiving unworthy sinners. Nothing brings God glory like the ability to grant the gift of eternal life to sinful wretches who have no ability to save themselves. If you're a Christian here today, you have been blessed with the most incredible gift, and it's entirely of God's giving. Eternal life, salvation through Christ. Praise his name. Praise his name for that. There'll be a few times where you might, as Gareth would say, whisper a hallelujah under your breath as we go through these, but these are beautiful truth. But interestingly, it's also a gift that's been promised and been planned for a long, long time. A few verses here from Titus chapter 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the sake of the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth, which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the ages began, at the proper time manifested in his word through the preaching with which I've been entrusted by the command of God, our Saviour. It's a gift promised from before time began. In some kind of incomprehensible way to our finite, time-bounded minds, God planned for the bride of Christ to be gifted eternal life before the universe even existed. And he brought it about, this verse teaches us, through this incredible means, or we learn about it through these incredible means, that of the preaching of people, of sinners saved by grace, is how that we hear about this. But grasp the impact of that statement in the middle a little bit. Before time began, a God who cannot lie promised eternal life to the elect, to those who would be saved. God who cannot lie. And it talks about here the hope of eternal life. Now, I don't know about you, but when I use the word hope often, I'm using it in a sort of optimistic sense. I hope that you get that job. I hope interest rates don't rise any further this year. I hope that my belly stops growing as I'm getting older and that exercise and diet can help me. You know, there's sort of there are other alternatives, but there's some optimism. I hope that things will happen, but not here. The hope of eternal life spoken about here in Titus chapter 1 is 100% guaranteed. 100% guaranteed, because it's more than being optimism. It's around anticipation. It's anticipation for eternal life founded on the promise of a God who cannot lie. So we know that he will give eternal life to his church, and he's promised that. And thirdly, this gift, so it's from God, promised before time, and it's received by belief and faith. John 5:24 would say, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. We could also dip into, as you see it on the screen, John chapter 3, verse 36, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. Many, many times eternal life is mentioned in the Bible. It emphasizes the responsibility of the one receiving this gift to receive it in faith, to receive it by believing. We receive eternal life through believing in Jesus Christ. It's that simple, but it's also that profound. Because By believing in Christ, what are we doing? Well, we're taking self from the throne. We're repenting of sin. We're accepting that his person, his teaching, his gospel is true. And we're submitting to his lordship. There's no other way to receive the gift of eternal life but through Christ. There is no other way to the Father but through Christ. It's not, you know, I do believe on him, sort of 80% of my belief, but, you know, 20% I'm holding back because, you know, I rely somewhat on science. What if there is another way? What if my money or my psychology or my positive thinking or my family can somewhat in some way help towards eternal life? No, that's not what the Bible teaches. It's total surrender and faith in Christ. Then you can receive this gift of eternal life. So eternal life there, we've got our first heading, it being a gift. But how is that gift delivered? How is that gift delivered? Sorry, I think I might be slightly one step behind. I've got two screens in here. So yeah, we're here. Right. Okay. This gift is delivered in Jesus Christ. John 1 verse 4 says, in him was life, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. Eternal life is first and foremost the life of the Son of God. It is God's life. God's life. Therefore, we can say it's supernatural. It's not something we have by nature. That's why it's a gift. We don't have eternal life in ourselves. It's a supernatural act above what we can manufacture. Eternal life is Christ's life. John 5 would tell us that the scriptures bear witness, you see it in the middle there, bear witness to Jesus being the source of eternal life. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me. Yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. The apostle puts it even clearer in 1 John chapter 5, verse 12. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life. It couldn't be sort of put more simply than that. Eternal life is in Christ. So it's in Jesus Christ gifted to us. If we have the Son, we have life. But so full of life is Christ that Peter would say to us, it's also in his words, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. So here we learn that eternal life isn't just in Christ, it's in his words. His words teach us and tell us about eternal life. The life of Christ, eternal life, is mediated to the world through his words. These words point to him. They point to himself as that life giver. He himself is called the Word of God. And when he was with us on the earth, he spoke these words of eternal life. The source, the origin, and the delivery method of eternal life is Christ displayed to us. And we know this through his words. This is why I love that hymn, and it's a nice hymn to sing at the start of this. Come to me, repent. You must be born again. All pointing us to eternal life found in Christ. So let me ask you, how much time do you spend in the life and the words of Jesus Christ? In him is life. How well do you and I have passages of the Gospels memorized? How often do we meditate on the words of Christ? This was years ago now. I remember Jim Munro standing up here and speaking. And Jim started by saying, for the last approximately 6 months or so, he says, I've just been studying almost exclusively this passage. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I remember, I think I was probably about 16, 17 at the time. And I was just like, 6 months studying I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he gave a fantastic sermon at the time on it and how he'd been wrestling with it and the depths that were there underneath that statement of Christ. But that is the richness of the words of our Saviour, the words of eternal life. They are unparalleled in their richness and in their value. But this third point is really exciting, because eternal life is also in the words of Jesus Christ's disciples. Why do I say that? How have I come to that? So at the end of John 17, the great intercessory prayer of Christ, he would say in verse 20, "I do not ask for these only," speaking about his disciples, he's been praying for them, "but also for those who will believe," we said that's to do with eternal life, remember, "who will believe in me through their word." So he said eternal life is a gift received by belief. We've said it's a gift that has its source in Christ. And here Jesus prays for people who will believe on him through the words of his disciples. So we learn that another way eternal life is delivered to people, and maybe you now get the sort of the man with the delivering the box, it's like the delivery of eternal life, is this gift is shared is via the words of Christ's disciples. You and I have the words of eternal life. And that what is that? That is the gospel message. That's the gospel message of our Saviour and the Lord. That is the truth that says Jesus Christ died for your sins and is offering you salvation today if you repent of them and trust in him and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved and you will inherit this gift of eternal life. You and I, as Christians today, we have the words of eternal life to share with a dying world. So we consider this gift, we consider this sort of delivery of the gift, but what exactly is it? What is eternal life? John 17 sort of starts us on this journey of what's inside this gift if we were to open it. John 17, verse 3 would say, "This is eternal life, that they know you." This is Jesus Christ praying to his Father, "that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." So eternal life, what is it? It's a personal relationship with God the Father and God the Son. This word "know," it speaks to us of this sort of personal, intimate experience of knowing God, this knowledge of God. Eternal life is not a vaccination against death. It's not a business transaction. It's not something clean cut in that way. It's a conscious experience of knowing and relating to God. It's only received through repentance and faith, receiving eternal life. Only then can we see and know God. In him was life, we read John 1, verse 4. In him was life. And that life was the light of men. And our passage in John 3 spoke about life, because that life illuminates God to us. Only when we have eternal life will that light shed abroad, and then we see that knowledge of God. Only those with eternal life can truly know God. And that's why eternal life is so much more than living forever. There's so much more to eternal life than just living forever, because it's about quality rather than quantity. It's also something that's experienced from the moment of salvation. It's a present reality for Christians. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Has eternal life. Not shall inherit eternal life in the future, or will have eternal life when they die. No, has eternal life right now. It's something that you have right now if you believe in Jesus Christ. Believing is the link that unites us with the life of God in Christ. It means that we can know him. If you have Christ, you have his life now, and his life is eternal. You have eternal life. I know I keep saying the same thing over and over again, but I'm just trying to saturate that into your minds and your hearts, and hopefully it's evoking an excited reaction that leads you to praise God. You know God today. You experience Christ today. Praise him for saving us. Praise him for his life. Because the alternative to eternal life, and we've made reference to it a little bit already, is eternal punishment. So I'm going to read a few verses from 2 Thessalonians chapter 6. Verse 6 onwards says, "Since indeed God considered it just to repay with afflictions those who afflicted you, and to grant relief to you who are afflicted as well as to us, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on" who? "Those who do not know God." So we can think about that. Those who don't have eternal life, they do not know God. "And on those who do not obey the gospel, they will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might, when he comes on that day to be glorified in his saints and to be marveled at among all who have believed, because our testimony to you was believed." And you see in those few verses elements of what we've already talked about being wrapped up. Those who have believed, because our testimony to you was believed. Those who have eternal life, it's speaking about. But earlier on, it talks about those who do not know God. Those who do not know God. And if you do not have the life of Christ, if you have not believed on him, your future is not glorious. Your future is not fulfilling. It's not eternal life. You will not know God. Instead, it's an eternal future away from the presence of Jesus Christ. You will never be in the presence of the one person who loved you so much. He came down to earth and he died for us, for humanity, that whosoever will may come to him. Jesus Christ is a personification of good, of love, of glory, of might, of power. And if you do not know him, you will never be with him in his presence. Instead, you will experience the punishment for your own sins, the wrath of God forever. There's no more sobering truth in the scripture. We all have an eternal soul. And seeing this choice between life and death, or glory and destruction, it reminds me of verses at the end of Deuteronomy chapter 30. Moses said, "I call to heaven and earth to witness against you today that I've set before you life and death. I've set before you blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life. Choose life that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, holding fast to him, for he is your life and length of days." He is your life and length of days. That is, I think I mentioned Kenny before. If I live a faithful life, that's what I'd like on my tombstone. I think that's a lovely little expression. He is your life and length of days. And if you could get to the end of your life, and people could say that, when I see Tom, he lived in a way that said that God is his life and length of days, then I think I could only praise God and thank him if that were to be true. But this little couple of verses in Deuteronomy 30, I just echo what Paul said. Choose life. Choose life, because the alternative is eternal punishment. So we've been through three of the four topics so far. And what have we seen? Well, we've seen that eternal life is a promised gift. It's received through belief. Its source is Christ. It's been delivered through his words and the words of his disciples. The gift itself is a living relationship with God the Father and God the Son, experienced from the moment you are saved, and wonderfully means you never, ever have to face eternal punishment at the hands of a holy God. But there is more. There is so much more. But let's look at one last sort of little topic, because it just gets better. Eternal life just gets even better than that, because eternal life triumphs over physical death. "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my words and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Friends, Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes on him, though he die, he shall live. And everyone who lives and believes in him shall never die. What does that mean? Well, everyone who has eternal life by faith will never have that life stripped away from them. Even if they die, they live. Physical death doesn't truncate eternal life and turn it into temporary life. If you have eternal life, death has lost its sting. For the Christian, death isn't sad. We do not mourn as those who have no hope. Death is not for the Christian that awful realization that you've missed the chance to repent of sin and get right with God. There's no sting. That sting of death is no longer there. Rather, death takes us to be with the Lord, to know him even more. Your friends, your family who are Christians and physically died, you could shout now, they are not dead. They are not dead. Jesus has given them eternal life. What a wonderful consolation that is for the believer when we go to a funeral for a Christian, whether they have lived a long life or a short life. They are not dead. They are not dead. Jesus has given them eternal life. And even more, he promises his church a physical resurrection. Eternal life is made complete in the resurrection. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes on him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Believes in him, eternal life, raise him up on the last day. The same themes coming through again and again, mainly in the writings of John. So take this chance to think of a fellow believer who has physically died. And we miss them, don't we? That's the sadness at a funeral. We miss them. Their passing, it really hurts. But think this, they are alive. They have eternal life in heaven with Christ, which is incredible. But their fullest experience of eternal life is still to come when the Lord descends with a trumpet, with the archangel's call, the dead bodies of those who are in Christ are raised from the dead. They have an incredible future, as do you if you are saved today. Eternal life is both for the soul and for the body. What a wonderful God we have. What a wonderful plan of salvation he has in place. Death has lost its sting. We will be raised again. And to top it off, that eternal life of knowing and experiencing God that starts at the moment of salvation, it will last forever. I give them eternal life and they will never perish and no one will be able to snatch them out of my hand. We could point to many scriptures in the New Testament that point to the eternal state that is to come, where we, the bride of Christ, will be with him forever. I read an article as I was studying, and someone described it like this, and it's a really simple little explanation, but it made me really excited, and it just made me long for to be with Christ. If a little bird should fly from the coast of the sea to a great plain and deposit a grain of sand once every 1,000 years, when the mound of sand is the height of Mount Everest, eternity will have just begun. Doesn't that make you so thankful you're saved? Mm-hmm. That you have eternal life forever with the Lord, forever with the King of Kings, who takes such joy in loving his bride, in caring for her, who has designed an eternity with no more pain, no more tears, there will be fullness of joy, culmination of eternal life. There's so much more we can think about. It's a wonderful topic that really stirs the heart of the believer. And hopefully today, if you are not a Christian here today, these little thoughts about eternal life, realizing what it is and how important it is to have eternal life, what the alternative is to eternal life, it will challenge you. Where do you stand before God? Where do you stand before God? So, in summary, eternal life. Eternal life is a promised gift received through belief. Its source is Christ. It has been delivered through his words and the words of his disciples. The gift itself is living relationship with God the Father and God the Son, experienced from the moment you are saved, and wonderfully means you do not have to ever face eternal punishment at the hand of a holy God. For the one who has eternal life, death has no sting. You will live forever in soul and body. Praise the Lord. Father, we do thank you for your inexpressible gift, eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Father, we learn in your word that the one who sows to the Spirit or from the Spirit reap eternal life. So let us not grow weary of doing good, Father. Help us to preach the words of eternal life, that in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Just, Father, energize us with these words from your scripture that speak to us of eternal life. Help us take hold of the eternal life, as the apostle would say. Take hold of this eternal life to which we are called. Father, help us to be rich in good works, to be generous, to share, thus storing up for ourselves treasure in heaven. Father, give us this eternal perspective on our work here on earth. Father, above all, we thank you for your Son. We would all be heading for eternal damnation, eternal punishment, the due reward for our rebellion against you, if not for Christ. Eternal life is in him, and we give thanks in his name. Amen.